News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I am Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Union Minister Ram Vilas Paswan, who recently underwent heart surgery at Delhi's Fortis Hospital, passed away late on Thursday. The 74-year-old veteran had been in active politics for more than 5 decades and was one of the country's most noted Dalit leaders. Sources in LJP said that his mortal remains will be taken from Delhi to Patna around 11 a.m. on Friday. Miss you, Papa, Lok Jan Shakti Party Chief Chirag Paswan tweeted while informing about the leader's demise. Chirag had last week tweeted, "For the last many days, Dad is getting treated in a hospital. Due to some sudden developments on Saturday evening, an operation of his heart had to be conducted in the late night. If the need arises, then possibly after a few weeks, another operation might be conducted. Thanks to all for standing by me and my family in this hour of struggle." Paswan too had said earlier that he finally got admitted at a hospital after Chirag realized he was ill and insisted that he get treated. He, however, did not reveal then what the illness was. Some media reports have stated he was suffering from multiple health issues, including pre-existing heart conditions. He had undergone heart-related procedures earlier. "I'm happy that my son Chirag is with me at this time and is doing all possible service. Along with taking care of me, he is also fulfilling his responsibilities towards the party," he wrote on Twitter. Along with news of his personal health, Paswan also backed his son to take the call on LJP's alliances for the upcoming Bihar Assembly elections. "I stand firmly with every decision of his. I'm confident that with his youthful thinking, Chirag will take the party and Bihar to new heights," Paswan said. The LJP has been threatening to walk out of the NDA in Bihar to protest against Nitish Kumar's projection as the alliance's face in the Bihar polls. Mumbai police on Thursday claimed to have busted a false TRP racket where households were apparently asked to keep channels switched on the entire day. The officers claimed that even in uneducated homes, some English news channels remained switched on. Mumbai Police Commissioner Parambir Singh said that 4 people have been arrested in the matter and officers are searching locations of their associates. TV advertising industry is worth 30,000 to 40,000 crore. The rates are decided on the basis of TRP. Even if minor changes are made in TRP, it affects advertising, he said. The Detection Crime Branch of Mumbai Police, which unearthed the TRP racket, has arrested owners of 2 Marathi channels for manipulating viewership ratings, an official said. TRP is a tool to judge which TV programs are viewed the most and also indicates the viewer's choice and popularity of a particular channel. Singh told reporters that a national TV news channel facing flak over its attack on Mumbai police and Maharashtra government in the Sushant Singh Rajput death case was also involved in the TRP racket. "The national news channel is also involved in the TRP racket and persons responsible for this will also be arrested, whether one is director, promoter or any other employee of the channel," the police commissioner said. "Bank accounts of these channels are also being probed and people responsible for the TRP racket are being summoned by police for further investigation in the case," he said. Speaking to CNN News 18, the Mumbai police commissioner said TRP was being manipulated to increase revenue for one channel while creating losses for another channel and advertisers. "We got names of 3 channels. One is Republic TV and the other 2 are Marathi channels." Elaborating on the clues that led to the racket, Singh said that a few days ago, one Hansa agency approached the police and told them about the malpractice of manipulating the ratings. On the basis of the complaint, the investigation was started, he added. "In our investigation, we found that households were being paid to run Republic Channel on their TV sets for money," the commissioner said, adding that people who the police thinks are directly involved in the racket will be called in for questioning. Singh further told News 18, "There was a campaign against us on social media. Some TV channels were also a part of it. 2 ex-employees of Hansa have been arrested. They have given us a few names. We have also recovered some money. 2 owners of Marathi channels have also been arrested. A total of 4 people have been held." Reacting to the development, Republic TV Editor-in-Chief Arnab Goswami said Parambir Singh has made false allegations against Republic TV because we have questioned him in the Sushant Singh Rajput case investigation. Republic TV will file a criminal defamation case against him. BARC or Broadcast Audience Research Council said that it appreciates the efforts of the Mumbai police and will provide the support asked of it. As in all our previous cases of suspected panel homes intrusions, BARC India continues to follow its established vigilance and disciplinary guidelines. BARC remains steadfastly true to its purpose to accurately and faithfully report what India watches, said BARC India spokesperson. Seven Indians hailing from Andhra Pradesh, Bihar, Gujarat and Uttar Pradesh were kidnapped in Libya last month, and India is in touch with authorities in the African nation to secure their release, the Ministry of External Affairs said on Thursday. The Indians were kidnapped at a place called Ashwarif on September 14 when they were on their way to the Tripoli airport to catch a flight to India, External Affairs Ministry spokesperson Anurag Srivastava said at a media briefing. The government is in touch with their family members and would like to assure them that we are making all possible efforts in consultation and coordination with Libyan authorities and the employer to trace our nationals and secure their release from captivity at the earliest, he said. Srivastava said the Indian nationals were working at a construction and oil field supplies company. The employer has been contacted by the kidnappers and shown photographs as proof that the Indian nationals were safe and keeping well, he said. Libya, an oil-rich country in North Africa, has been witnessing large-scale violence and unrest since the fall of Muammar Gaddafi's four-decade regime in 2011. Srivastava said the Indian embassy in Tunisia has reached out to the Libyan government authorities, as also the international organizations present there, seeking their help in rescuing the Indian nationals. The Indian mission in Tunisia handles matters relating to the welfare of Indian nationals in Libya. In September 2015, an advisory was issued by the government for Indian nationals to avoid traveling to Libya in view of the security situation there. In May 2016, the government imposed a complete travel ban, irrespective of the purpose, in view of the deteriorating security situation in Libya. This travel ban is still in force, said Srivastava. The US vice presidential debate featured plexiglass barriers, but they were no match for the night's most talked about intruder, a fly that briefly buzzed around the stage before landing and staying on Mike Pence's head. The incident went unmentioned on stage, with the Republican vice president and Democratic Senator Kamala Harris continuing to focus on the discussion of systemic racism in the justice system. But as the insect took up residence on Pence's white hair, the social media firestorm was immediate and intense. It easily created more, buzz than nearly anything else that occurred. "That's not on your TV, it is on his head," tweeted MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. "The fly knows," tweeted author Stephen King. Others joked about the creature perhaps getting stuck in hairspray. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden immediately got in on the act, tweeting a photo of himself clutching an orange fly swatter under the heading, "Pitch in $5 to help this campaign fly." Moments later, he tweeted again, this time highlighting flywillvote.com, which took users to a website set up for his campaign to help supporters make plans to vote. Pence had spent much of the night shaking his head in response to Harris's answers, but the vice president didn't appear to notice the fly's arrival. Despite his talking and normal body movements, the hot stage lights and those virus-fighting barriers, the fly was unperturbed. It finally flew away on its own. Wednesday night's visitor wasn't the first fly to take center stage at a presidential debate. In 2016, one briefly landed between Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton's eyes during a town hall-style debate with now-President Donald Trump. Clinton didn't flinch. President Barack Obama, however, took action when confronted with an airborne distraction during the taping of a television interview in 2009. Obama stopped speaking to swat at a buzzing fly and tell it to get out of here. As interviewer John Harwood quipped, "That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen." Obama concentrated on its path and swatted it dead. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.